In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. Increase in us true knowledge of thee, and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Rogate, the fifth Sunday after Easter, is found recorded in the epistle of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 27, and reads as follows. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 408. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 16, verses 23 through 30, and reads as follows. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. Because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth upon the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in Psalm 102, verses 11 through 28, and reads as follows. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones, and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, the historic ecclesiastical name for this Sunday is Rogate, which is Latin for ask. It's taken from the gospel lesson appointed for today, in which Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So the general theme that is normally associated with this Sunday is prayer. Jesus, in those words in John 16, which we heard in our gospel lesson, encouraged his disciples of all time to bring their requests before God and be confident that he will favorably receive and answer those prayers for the sake of the Savior. Which is why he tells us to pray in Jesus' name. If we would take advantage of that great privilege of prayer and pray as often as we should, not doubting Christ's promises at all concerning it, our joy, as Jesus told his disciples, would be full. But because of our sinful flesh, we do not always pray as often as we should, and we often give in to feelings of depression or anxiety, which is a sign that we should pray more fervently and grow in our trust in God's promises concerning prayer. Thus we have our text for today, in which we are encouraged to pray with confidence. And we're taught to look to God as our never-failing helper in every time of need. Indeed, as our text describes it, the eternal, unchangeable God mercifully hears and answers our prayers. On the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that the eternal God has mercy upon us with perfect timing. Secondly, that the Lord hears and answers the prayers of his people. And thirdly, that the unchangeable God may weaken us physically while he strengthens us spiritually. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Unlike God, who is completely unaffected by the changing of time. We humans are greatly affected by it. With the passing of time, man ages and draws ever closer to the very last day he will spend in this earthly life. And then comes death. But when exactly will that happen for us? Only God knows. Only God is in control of that. But the way that the human life fades away in a relatively short amount of time is described in our text as follows. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. The mortality of man is compared here to a shadow that fades and disappears with the setting of the sun, and as grass that withers away. In contrast to our frail mortality, the Lord is here described as enduring forever. We read, "But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations." And as our text continues, this eternal God is described as being merciful to his people. And you'll notice that the word Zion is used throughout our text, and that word refers here to the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the true believers in the Lord. We read, "For thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come." Notice here that it says God has a set time. He's already chosen an exact time to grant us help. He knows not only the best way to help us, but he knows the best timing, the exact timing that will work out in our best interests. Not only would it be completely inappropriate for us to demand that God help us on our time schedule, but it'd also be very foolish because we humans do not have the perfect knowledge that God has. His timing is infinitely better than ours. If we actually got exactly what we asked for, exactly when we thought would be best, we would probably mess ourselves up and those around us quite a bit. So thankfully, God does not take our commands or dictations, but he answers our prayers in a better way and at a better time than we can even know. God's great love for us in Christ Jesus is enduring throughout all generations. And it's his love for us that moves us to love him in return. Yes, even to love and cherish all the opportunities that we have to praise the Lord, to gather together with our fellow Christians in church. Accordingly, true believers are described in our text as loving the temple, loving where God's word would be preached. We read in our text, "For thy servants take pleasure in her stones," that's a reference to the temple in Jerusalem, "and favor the dust thereof." Even the dust of the ground in the location of the temple was valued by the believers in those days. But most Bible commentators take this reference to dust as the remnants of the temple after it had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. It was still highly valued by the Christians, even after it had been destroyed. That was a very sad time for the believers. And that beautiful temple of Solomon that had been dedicated to the worship of the Lord had been completely destroyed by the heathen. And that was a punishment that God brought down upon the Jews because of their disobedience and rebellion. And yet, God never did abandon his people. He continued to be with them even when they were carried away as captives to Babylon. The promises of the Messiah would be fulfilled in their time. And the Christian church of true believers would be increased, greatly expanded, having Gentiles also brought into the Zion of God's people. The next verse of our text points forward to the conversion of the Jews, or rather the conversion of the non-Jews, the Gentiles, the heathen, where it says, "So the heathen, Gentiles, shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory." Gentile Christians being added to the Church of True Believers, as would happen especially in the time of the New Testament, would enhance the church greatly and cause the glory of the Lord to be seen throughout the world. This point is continued in the next verse, where we read, "When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory." God continually builds up his holy Christian church through the proclamation of his word. And for those blessings that we receive through the means of grace, we should be most grateful at all times. And yet, we Christians do not always feel pure joy in recognition of God's blessings. We sometimes lose sight of those blessings and focus only on the pains and the troubles of this present life. If you have your Bibles open to where our text for this morning is found, and look at the heading at the very beginning of the psalm. It says, "A prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord." And in the two verses just before the start of our text, in verses 9 and 10, we read, "I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath. For thou hast lifted me up and cast me down." We Christians can feel that way sometimes. We can feel like God has abandoned us, even though we know, according to his word, that he never will. And we see in the next verse of our text, verse 17, that the psalmist still expresses confidence that the Lord will hear his prayer. He says, "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." The Hebrew word translated here as destitute means poor and helpless. That is an accurate description of each one of us. We're all poor and helpless, in desperate need of God's help, and thankfully, God always does provide us with the help that we need. He's the very best friend we could have. As we'll sing in the hymn following our sermon, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." With an eye toward those who would be brought to know the Lord in future generations through his written and preached word, the psalmist declares in the next verse of our text, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created, shall praise the Lord." Christians of every generation do that. They praise the Lord. They thank and glorify him for all of his wonderful works, all of his rich blessings upon them. Even though God is infinitely higher than any of his creatures, he is not so far removed from us that he doesn't know what's going on in our lives. He's actually always with us, always around us. We're never without him. So he sees exactly what's going on in our lives. This point is made in the next verses of our text, where it says, "For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner," the believers who are suffering cruel oppression, "to loose those that are appointed to death." Yes, the Lord knows exactly what we are suffering. He knows exactly what every child of his is doing and is being done to him everywhere on this earth. And he knows exactly how best to help us. In recognition of his perfect knowledge and loving care, we, his believing children, praise the name of the Lord, and cheerfully dedicate our lives to his service, as we read in our text. To declare the name of the Lord in Zion, and pray and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms, to serve the Lord. Obviously, serving the Lord with grateful hearts is the proper response for us Christians who've received so many blessings from his gracious hand. But even though the Lord is so gracious to us, he does still bring upon us physical afflictions and difficulties in life, sometimes described as crosses, chastenings, hardships. This is referred to in the next verse of our text as follows. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. When the Lord thus weakens our physical strength, this should not be taken as a sign of his displeasure or that he is going to punish us and damn us to hell because of our sins. We should recognize it as a mark of his love and care. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Through such physical afflictions, God desires to build us up spiritually, strengthen us in the faith through the power of his word. He desires to draw us closer to him through prayer and meditation upon the gospel. And when we do that, we are built up in our confidence in the glorious life that awaits us in heaven, after this veil of tears is through. And we Christians obviously desire to go to heaven, be with God. But we may not want to go to heaven this instant. We may want to continue still longer in this veil of tears, doing the important work that God has set before us to do. You'll remember how in Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul expresses being conflicted in his desires, having one desire to just die and go to heaven, but another desire to continue in life, continue serving the Lord for the good of the Christians. And certainly God did do much good for the Christians through the work of the Apostle Paul. Thus he writes to the Philippians, I am in a strait betwixt two, meaning conflicted between two positions, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Yes, Paul knew that he still had important work to do in this life, and he was not about to shirk that God-given responsibility and work by wishing for an early death. Similarly, in the next verse of our text, the psalmist asked the Lord not to take him out of this life prematurely before he had accomplished all that God wanted him to accomplish. He says, I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. However many days the Lord has appointed us to live, we Christians should desire to live all of those days in the humble service of our God. Of course, we know that at the time of God's choosing, we will lay down our life and die. And that doesn't just apply to humans. All of God's creatures, the entire earth and universe, will perish. God is really the only one who remains constant, unchanging, never dying. This is expressed in our text as follows. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. Yes, God alone remains immutable, unchangeable, which means, as we discussed in last week's sermon, means that his word will never change. We can count on it remaining true and consistent throughout our lives. Even though, as the psalmist already described, we and all of God's creation will perish, yet it is also true, in another sense, that we Christians will never perish, because by faith in the Lord Jesus, we have the promise of everlasting life, as this is so beautifully described in what's sometimes called the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we see that gospel promise of life everlasting reflected in the last verse of our text, which is also the last verse of the psalm, where we read, "The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee." Yes, the believing children of the Lord throughout all generations will be established, built up, strengthened in their saving faith through the power of the gospel. And at the end of their earthly life, they will be received into heaven. That victory over death, that salvation from sin and its consequences, that priceless gift of God's saving grace, is what Jesus earned for you and me and really all mankind by his perfect life and innocent suffering and death on the cross. We Christians receive those gifts of grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. And that faith, whereby we receive those promises, should comfort us at all times, whether in good health or poor health, whether in the prime of life or fast approaching death. And after this earthly life is passed, then we will inherit the eternal mansions prepared for us, endless joy, peace, and happiness in the glorious presence of Christ, for his sake alone. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, for the gift of saving faith, which is ours through the power of the gospel of Christ, our Savior. And with thankful hearts, as a fruit of our faith, we now place these offerings before thee. And we ask thee graciously to receive our offerings and to bless them in the work of thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thee our heartfelt thanks for the precious gift of thy Son, Jesus, whom thou didst send that we might have everlasting life, and who, to accomplish his work, innocently suffered in meekness and humility the afflictions of this life, took our sins and infirmities into his own body, and bore them unto death upon the cross as our substitute. For this great salvation, for our deliverance from the dominion of death, and for the sweet and sure hope of heaven, we glorify thee, O Lord God, and sing forth the honor of thy name. Bless thy church, and let it be, both here in this congregation and everywhere, a loving gathering of faithful believers, a people of faith and prayer, exercising their true religion in the performance of every kind and merciful deed. And to this end, open the hearts of men throughout our conference, that they may be filled with the desire to serve thee in the pastoral office, and to be thoroughly trained for such work in our seminary, that under their leadership in future years, our congregations may continue to be led with the pure teachings of his holy word. Continue to uphold Pastor Leitz, blessing him in body, mind, and spirit. If it be thy will, grant him the strength to continue serving thee and his congregation as a faithful minister of thy word. Bless also our brethren in Nigeria and Russia in all their afflictions. Let them seek thee and receive thy gracious help in removing or helping them to bear the crosses thou hast laid upon them in love. O Lord, keep us all steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in thy work day by day as we live out our lives in this world. For as much as we know that in thee our labor is not in vain, we ask all these petitions in Jesus' name. And in his name we furthermore pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, who by thy Son has promised to give us whatsoever we shall ask in his name, we beseech thee, grant us the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may make known our requests unto thee in faithful prayer, and desire of thee only that which is well-pleasing to thee for our spiritual and eternal benefit, lifting up holy hands which are not stained with impenitence and unbelief, and being firmly assured that thou wilt hear and grant our requests. Help us to consecrate our lives and all that we are and have to thee, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 3 of hymn 457.